there? Hello? There you go. Hey. All right. This morning, I can hardly contain my excitement this morning, because what we're going to talk about this morning is so much a part of the heart of why we are here that it just speaks to so many things about this church and about my own personal desires and my own personal hope for this planet and the time in this planet. And so there's just a big part of me that just wants to kind of jump out. I kind of wish I could drag all of you into my heart so that you could feel what I'm feeling. But I want to try this morning to capture as best I can a little bit of what I feel about this life that I'm living. And hopefully you guys will be able to kind of sense where we're going with all this. My children, I have four of them now. Obviously, the littlest one is 8 weeks old, so he's just starting out. But the rest of them, I constantly try and figure out little life lessons for them that I can teach them and show them as they grow up. One of the things that we do in my house is whenever one of my children have a birthday or Christmas comes around, because we have grandparents and aunts and uncles and all this stuff, it just amazes me how much stuff these kids get. I mean, some of you guys know how that is. You know, we call all of our parents and aunts and uncles and stuff and say, listen, for Christmas, there's a rule at our house. You send one gift, that's it. Because by the time each one of you sends one gift, it's unbelievable. Our children will be opening gifts for a month. So what we've decided to do, which has been working incredibly well in our home, is every time one of our children has a birthday or Christmas, after we're done opening all the brand new presents, we count them up. Say Hadley, for instance, she's seven. She counts them up and she goes, I've got 14 presents. We go, great, all right. Then we head up to her room later that day or the next day, and she goes through all her other toys and she picks 14 of them that she doesn't need anymore. 14 toys that still work beautifully, that are still great, that she still likes, but she's got 14 new ones now. She doesn't need those. And then we collect those toys, and then we go and give those toys to children who don't have the privilege of getting 14 toys for Christmas. We go to an orphanage or we go to an organization here in town and we give those toys away. So my little boy, this was his first set this year. Christmas, he got his toys and he gets cars. You know, he's got a lot of cars. So step one, it was a little more difficult for him to kind of sort through all these toys. So I took all these cars and I laid them out on the floor. There's probably 60 of them. And I said, Cullen, I want you to pick 15 of these cars that we're going to give away to some children who don't have any cars. Man, it must have taken him half the day. And he kept switching them. He'd run back to the table, no, no, and he'd run back, and he'd put that one back, and he'd pick another one, and he'd come, and then he'd think about it, and he'd go, no, I actually like that one. And then so he'd go, and eventually, after he did this for a while, I took the cars that he had, and he'd picked pretty well. In fact, there were a couple of cars there that I almost went, we should keep this one. This is a nice car. Why did you pick that one? I know you like this car. And then it dawned on me, what I'm trying to create in my son's heart is a greater desire to give himself away than he has to get stuff from other people. I want my children to grow up in a world where they go, what brings me real joy, what gets my blood flowing is not the Christmas presents under the tree. It is the opportunity that I have after I open them to give to somebody who has need. That's the kind of heart that I want my children to grow up with. You know, there have been a number of you guys that have asked me and asked other staff at Mosaic why it is that we don't pass a plate around here every Sunday to say, hey, would you please throw your money in a plate? And my answer is always the same when people ask that. Because I am not interested in people giving their money to this church because, one, they're looking around going, oh, who's watching? Or two, that they somehow feel the weight, the obligation of this giving thing that's kind of passing past them. And they're like, whoa, I better give, otherwise I'm a bad person. I want the people in our church to gain such a joy and a heart for giving that they cannot wait to show up and give themselves away to the expansion of God's kingdom. And so we put a little box in the back because the people that know that, the people that have that heart, they know where to give. And the rest of the people, as that heart develops, they'll know where to give too. So for me and for my wife, one of the reasons why we walk into these doors every Sunday and we cannot wait to write our check and put it in that box so that that check can go to work is because we know some things that perhaps you don't know. Perhaps you know some of them, but not all of them. So this morning, kind of what I want to do is for those of you here that give to this church, that Sunday after Sunday or month after month faithfully give your money to this church to do stuff, I don't want you to miss out on all the incredible things that's happening because of that. And for those of you here that have been thinking, I don't know, I want you to understand and know what happens at this church when you share in ministry with us. So this morning, that's what I'm going to do because I get to see it every week, you don't. So let me start off before we jump into the bigger things that are going on. I just want to give you a quick glimpse of what goes on here at Mosaic on a weekly basis so that you know if you're somebody in this church that gives to this church financially while you're sitting on your couch on a Tuesday night watching American Idol, I want you to know that you are sharing in an incredible work that's going on this planet. You know, here at this church, we have several staff people that work in different areas in the ministry. We work with high school students here at the church, and some of you have high school students and you know that. We work with junior high students here at the church. On a Sunday morning out there, all of your small children are out there with teachers and people working into their lives. And one of the big things here that we tell, that you'll hear from Carrie all the time is we're not here to babysit your kids. We're here to teach your kids and love your kids and grow your kids. And so out there, they're doing that right now. And then on a weekly basis, on any given day in this church, there are people coming into the doors whose marriages are struggling, whose finances are struggling, who don't know what decisions to make, and they come here to these doors to sit down and go, how does this work? And so over the last year, I have had the incredible privilege of watching marriages grow into health because we've been here. And watching people get a handle on their finances and budget and start working and go, whoa, I had no idea how much money I had. This is great. And watching people parent their children differently because they're learning principles here. And so as I look out there into the world, I start going, wow, are you kidding me? This is incredible. When Brooke and I sit down here and we prepare to give to this church, I already know that I am investing into the lives that will change. There are marriages that are better today because I walked back there and I shared in the ministry. There are people's children that are growing better. There are people that are growing into generations that are going to be completely different than they would have been because we're here and we're doing the work that God has called us to. And that gets my blood flowing. I start getting excited because I start realizing that when I put a dollar into that box, that dollar, portions of that dollar start splitting into all sorts of invested areas where ministry is going on and things are happening. So one of the things that we wanted to do here is, in principle, the Bible calls us, because God knows how we think and knows how we work, He calls us and says, listen, here's how it works. I will provide for you all these things that you have. And then, so that you remember that it is the provider that takes care of you and not the provision, you understand what I'm saying? I want you to be able to have the freedom never to get caught up in the provision itself. So you need to take, and he starts with this number 10% in the Old Testament and brings it in. He says, you need to take 10% of this initial provision and give it back to me. Not because I need it, but because I don't want you to be stuck in the provision. When you give it back, though, know this, that you are investing it, as God says, into eternity, into the kingdom of God. And on a practical level, as you invest that, you see lives change because of it. So here we are, a church, right? Mosaic Church. And I'm thinking to myself, if I ever get up in front of you guys and say, the Bible really calls us to give 10% of ourselves away initially, to start there. And you look at Mosaic Church and go, great, do you guys do that? And I go, oh no. No, our budget here at the church, it turns the lights on, it keeps things running, and it pays our salaries, and we're excited. And you go, really? Well, what do we do with that outside of that? That's what we do. I mean, personally, I think I'd be a little kind of like, huh? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. You're calling me to a principle that you don't follow? And so part of me just started realizing, you know what? As a church, as Mosaic Church, because the church is who? What is the church? Look around, everyone, for a second. Turn your heads and look around. You are looking at the church. Look up. You are not looking at the church. This is not the church. This just happens to be a neat little structure in which we can meet so that when it rains, we don't have to run home. But this is not the church. You are the church. And so I realize that as a church, we are to give ourselves away as well. So then we sat back and said, all right, we have to intentionally, specifically give a portion of ourselves away as God commanded. So we decided to start with the same number that the Bible starts with, which is 10%. And we said, all right, our goal is to take 10% of our annual budget here and make sure that that 10% is given to things that will have no impact whatsoever on this church here. That it will not be about us or for us or in any way change us. In fact, if anything, it will cost us more than the 10% financially because we'll actually have to go and do something about it as well. And then we'll have to be inconvenienced and our schedules will have to change and we'll have to sit back and go, man, why did we get into this? This is nuts. And I thought, that's it. I want to look for things that will stretch us in ways that we kind of will look back and go, ugh, that was hard. And so we started sitting down as a team. There's a missions, a group of people that have a passion for missions that we got together and some of the staff, and we sat down and we started working through, all right, there are a million things going on in the world. Which of those million things do we want to step into and say, these are lives that we can directly impact in some way? So one of the goals we had is this. I am not so much into finding a massive organization and going, here's a drop in the bucket for you, and you do whatever you do. Because that's easy, I think, for us. It is easy. We just kind of and send. I was looking for people that we could directly connect with, directly sit with and go, all right, so here's the deal. I know him who knows her who knows him, and they do this, and they know these people, and so we connect with those people. And so we started searching for groups of people, for organizations, for places where we knew we could have a direct and specific impact. And God gave us these places. And today as you sit back, I want you to sit back and as you watch and as you listen to the next 15, 20 minutes, I want you to know this one thing, that everything you're about to see, if you are at this church and you call this church your home, and you give your time and you give your money to this place, then I want you to know today that the stories you're about to watch are stories that you have had a major impact in and that you will have a major impact in. Because these things we're about to throw up here are the next 12 months of our life as a church to say, if you're here and this is your home, then get ready because this is what you're going to get to be part of. These are the lives you're going to get to see change. So we're going to start with something that's real close to home because we thought starting close to home is the way to go. And we know that just a little while ago, there was this massive hurricane that came in here, right? And it had a little name. It started with a K. What was it? Katrina, that's right. And Katrina came in and it devastated an entire section of this country that's right nearby us, a couple hours away. Anybody happen to know what place that was? New Orleans, you see it there? That is New Orleans. Those are the roofs of houses that are under the water. Do you remember this? See, it's hard to remember sometimes, isn't it? Because it's not in the news anymore. It's kind of back there. The difference between this picture and the picture now is simply that a lot of the water isn't there anymore. Okay, so put yourself in their shoes for a second, all right? Just a few months ago, there was a massive devastation. Is it months ago? What is it now? A year ago. Right, so more or less months. There was this kind of devastation. For us, it was a news story that we were sad over. And for us, some of us, you know, remember, we took some stuff up to New Orleans when it happened, and we did some other things. And so for us, it was a moment to help out. But then, just a few months later, we went back to living normally. When you leave this church, where are you going? Most of you will go to lunch. If you don't go to lunch, you'll go home. And you'll go to your nice little house that has all your nice little stuff in it, and there was no massive flood that wiped everything out. Today, after church, there are a bunch of people in New Orleans that are going to go home to another day of work, another day of fixing, another day of trying to recover from what happened months and months and months ago. And they will continue to do that for months and months and months to come. And so we have the incredible privilege of knowing some people in New Orleans. In particular, Amanda happens to have family there. So she knew the organizations there, and there's this church there called Celebration, and they help organizations and churches when you come into New Orleans. They organize you, because there's nothing that just bugs me more than when we run off on a missions trip and we stand around like idiots going, "We're here to help." Day one over. "We're here to help." Day two over. "Could you please plant this flower right here?" "Sure, no problem. Plant a flower." "All right, we can go to Disney World now." I mean, that's not missions. Missions is when we show up, and from the moment we show up to the moment we leave, we're exhausted and sweaty and giving ourselves away. And it's not about us. It's about the people that we go to serve. It's not about our warm fuzzies, but it's about them. And so New Orleans, we get to work with this organization that when we arrive, they'll go, "All right, we have a list so long of people that need help. You will be busy all the time." And then they will send us out to people's homes where we can help paint and rebuild and fix. They will send us out to community centers that have been destroyed that we need rebuilt. They will send us out to sit with people at night and cry with them over the tragedy that they faced. We may even get to hold some people who have lost loved ones. I mean, there is a world of hurt out there that we get to go and be a part of. So Mosaic Church is going to load up in June, and some of you are going to load up with us, and we're going to head over to New Orleans, and we're going to work, and we're going to give, and we're going to give financially, and we're going to make that place a better place because we exist here. So that's the first thing we're going to do this summer. In June, we're going to head out, and we're going to give to that. The next thing that we're going to do is we are going to work with this place. This is Tia Ana, and Tia Ana, she's a lady. It's an incredible story. Okay, just kind of watch the pictures as I talk. Tia Ana was a prostitute. All right, you with me? She lived the life of a prostitute because, watch this, she was an orphan. And so she had no way of taking care of herself other than hitting the streets and working as a prostitute. So later on in her life, once she'd worked as a prostitute for a while, she became a believer. She discovered the love of Christ, and she said to herself, "There is no way I can live the rest of my life out allowing and knowing that there are people out there that have my life." So you know what she did? She started an orphanage right in her home. Isn't that incredible? Here's a woman who's poor, who's lived her life as a prostitute, and her response to coming to Christ is, "I'm going to start an orphanage and get all the little kids that have no hope into this orphanage, and I'm going to start working with them." She's an incredibly resourceful woman. We know her because there's a couple in Tampa who knows a couple in our church who works that's the other one. There's a couple in our church that works with her. Jeff and Cindy, I think they're in here somewhere. Oh, there they are. They know this orphanage. They're directly connected with her. And so it gives us a direct connection. So what we've decided to do is she wants to educate these children, give them an education, send them to school so that they don't have to grow up as prostitutes and as robbers. So here's what she does. She pays for their school uniforms. She pays for their education. She feeds them and takes care of them. You know how much money that takes? It takes very little. That's how much it takes. Do you know how much money she has? She has much less than very little. Are you with me? So every single month, she tries to figure out how to make this work. Last month, when we first found out about this, she needed school uniforms. $100. $100 for school uniforms. And I'm like, "Are you insane? I mean, I'll go to Starbucks and spend $100. Have you seen how much Starbucks costs these days?" And so I'm like, "No, I'm not on my clock. It's not going to happen." And so what we've decided to do this year, we can't go over to where she is. But what we have decided to do is we've decided to support them financially this year. So we are going to send this year, we're going to send money her way. And if you look at the little sheet that you have, you guys have this sheet right here? This sheet right here will tell you a little bit about the orphanage over there. We're going to send $2,000 this year to this orphanage, and we're going to break it down by sending $500 to help one of her sister organizations that she works with that are doing the same thing, and then we're going to send $250 a month so that that money can buy her all the things that she needs to make these orphans go through what they need to go through. So listen carefully to what I'm about to say. Every dime that goes to this orphanage, there is a name behind that money, a little boy or a little girl, who will grow up in a world where they will be able to live a life that is outside of crime, outside of prostitution, and outside of being homeless on the street, because somebody decided to step up to the plate and take care of him. And that, those names, those children are the children that while you sit on your couch on Monday watching American Idol, that you are at work sharing in their lives. What an incredible thing to be able to be part of. All right, so that's Anna. The next thing that we're going to be doing is I want to take you to a country called South Africa. It's a country where I was born and raised, and so I've got a particular heart for that country just because I was there. But I want you to take a look at this video because this video will describe to you the next thing that we're going to be involved in.
The first time I went into Kaimandi, I came into the whole HIV/AIDS scenario at its worst.
My mom's not there. My father's not there.
When my mom died, I was 9 years old.
My dad was first, then my mother followed.
I dream sometimes like my children won't like suffer like me.
Talk to me about how you feel when you see other kids with their dads.
Makes me want to cry.
What was the answer to this absolute wave that was engulfing Africa? Are we going to lose a whole generation of young kids?
Anyone getting close to the heart of God would be drawn into this compulsory responsibility to get involved with the biggest pandemic the world has ever seen. You've got a very affluent community called Stellenbosch, and then you have Kaimandi, which is a very poor community. And they live alongside each other. God really literally stepped into my life by a supernatural experience where he said, you got to go and sleep there in the shack to discover my heart. So I went there with my wife and we slept in a shack for 2 nights.
The word orphan isn't actually in the language or not used or recognized. So they will adopt their grandmother as their mother. So we have a lot of technical orphans.
I don't know who my father is, and I don't know why did he just leave us when my mother passed away.
I don't know my mother, so I don't know what to say because they took me when I was young.
Who took you?
My aunt.
I do not believe in putting children into an institution. I believe in home-based orphan care, helping the caregivers, people who are looking after the children, if it's grandmothers, aunts, uncles, or just friends, or just anybody who wants to help children.
As soon as we started to help the orphans, suddenly we discovered you cannot help the orphan by just dishing out food. If you don't change the environment, how can you really help in a long term?
One has to look at job creation, one has to look at skills training for the caregivers themselves and the community at large to help the community as a whole so that you are changing and transforming and supporting the whole community. I know that there will be disappointments, but just giving these children a chance to have a new life, to have a different life, that makes it worthwhile.
As we serve the need, we discover the fountain of life.
Jenny and Cassie, they are a blessing for Kaimandi.
I had the incredible privilege of meeting that couple, Jenny and Cassie. They were over at Hillgard and Yanisa's house who go to our church because they're great friends. And that's how we found out about this organization. And so once again, we have a direct connection. And as you could tell through the video, their heart, their goal is not to enable people by feeding them and saying, all right, we're until we're done feeding you, you're okay, and then when we stop, you stop. But their goal is to take these children and these families and these adults and to help them and train them and change them so that they can stand on their own two feet and live a life that they will be proud of. And at the same time, sharing with them the incredible love of God, which is an amazing thing. And so here you have a church in South Africa, in the Cape Town area, going in to Kayamandi to change lives. And we here in Florida get to be part of all of that. So we're going to send to them this year $3,000 to help them build a resource center that they need for this training that they need to do and the skills that they need to do it. Next year, guess what we get to do? We get to go, and we get to go and help them for real there with our hands and our feet, and then we'll give again next year because we want to help them. Same thing with Tiana. We're not going to go to El Salvador this year, but guess what we're going to do next year? We're going to go to El Salvador and help her in that orphanage and take care of those kids because I want you and I want me to be able to know that we are giving ourselves away for the sake of others. So now we are so far, we have, what do we have? We have New Orleans, which is right here in our neck of the woods that we need to help out. We've got Tiana, who's working with orphans, trying to change their lives, and we're going to help her. And then we've got an orphanage in South Africa that we're going to work with. So what's next? Are we done? Oh, we're not even close to done. All right, so here we go, okay? The next thing is this. Last year, as many of you guys know, we went to the Republic of Georgia, right? So this year we decided we're going to go back to the Republic of Georgia. So I worked with Craig, who I work with in an organization called CLDI, Christian Leadership Development International. He does pastors' conferences, again, with the holistic idea that if we train the pastors, they can train their people in the churches, and they can live differently. And so we kind of go as a support to go and help out. Now, the place you're looking at right now, I was there this year. I got stuck there. Is this Georgia? No, this is not Georgia. This looks more Asian, doesn't it? That's because this is Central Asia. It's a place called Kazakhstan, all right? Turns out in Georgia, in the month of July, when we're going on our trip, that Omari, who runs the whole thing in Georgia, he's out of town for that month. So I said to Craig, where else do you need us to come? And Craig said, are you kidding me? I've got a list a mile long. So he called his friend Sergey, and Sergey is from Central Asia. He's from Uzbekistan, where they kicked him out and he went through all sorts of stuff. Well, Kazakhstan borders China and Uzbekistan, and then right near Kazakhstan is Tajikistan. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We are going to get on an airplane. We're going to fly over to Kazakhstan. It's a long, long way. I know, because I've been there. And then we're going to go to Kazakhstan, or we might go to Tajikistan, depending on, they're busy working on that right now. Or we might go to both if there's enough of you that want to come. And here's what we're going to do. They're going to give us a curriculum, and we're going to go and teach English classes. We're going to go and teach computer stuff. If there's some of you here that have skills in the medical field, we'll go and teach them how to take care of basic medical stuff. If you have skills here in construction, we'll go and teach them how to do some of that. If you're here and you're a businessman or a businesswoman, we'll go and teach them how to start their own business. We'll just do whatever we can to help them to begin to understand how to kind of navigate a life in a world you and I can't possibly imagine how difficult it is. And while we're doing that, guess what we're going to get to do? We're going to get to build relationships with these people every single day. And then at the end of each day, as we tell them our stories and we tell them about what God has done in our lives, then we'll have Sergey come, who is a dynamic and amazing Central Asian. And he will come and sit with all of them, and he will share with them what God has done in his life and how God has changed his life. And then we're going to take all these college and young adult people and these adults and go, you know what, God can do this in your life. And they will know that we just didn't show up to go, God loves you, be well and warm and well fed, thank you. But we came and we said, we'll feed you, we'll take care of you, we'll make you warm, come sit by our fire, come and hang out with us, now we can talk to you. And so we will be in Tajikistan or Kazakhstan or both of them in Central Asia this year. We'll be working there to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to people's hearts while we're also helping them to stand on their own two feet. So I'm very excited about that trip, and you can start thinking to yourself, are you up for 48 hours of travel one way? So, all right. So after Kazakhstan, we're going to jump now from Kazakhstan to another part of the world. We're going to jump all the way to Brazil, okay, because where have we gone so far? We jumped from here to New Orleans. We're going to work there. with our hands and our feet. And then we jumped from there to El Salvador. We're going to support financially there and prepare to work there next year. Then we jumped all the way down south to South Africa, where we're going to financially support this year and then work there next year. And then we jumped all the way to Kazakhstan, where we're going to do some work this year with our hands and feet. And now we're jumping across from Kazakhstan to Brazil, where we're going to work in Brazil. Take a look at this video. This is what we're going to be doing.
Well, Seeds of Hope is a non-profit organization that's dedicated to help the people that need the most. Young kids that are living in the streets of São Paulo, Brazil, and orphans that are living in different orphanages in Brazil without any opportunities for a career. These kids have no way to get a better education to be able to provide for themselves as they mature. And Seeds of Hope is a place where these kids will be allowed to come in and get professional training and a house to stay after they leave the orphanage, or if they live in the streets, they will have a place to stay.
Seeds of Hope serves those who have been abandoned, neglected, and abused by society. We serve the most fragile people in our world. Kids who would end up in the prison system, prostitution, or even dead in the streets of Sao Paulo due to drug or crime. We serve the ones that can't do anything for themselves.
The living condition of these kids are terrible. They are living right by open sewers and running water with all kinds of debris and nasty bugs and all kinds of stuff in there.
How can you help? First of all, we need your prayers to take on this huge challenge that God has placed in our hearts. Please pray that we will do what is right, honorable, and to the glory of God in this entire process. Secondly, we need financial partners. We need your help in acquiring a piece of property in Sao Paulo that would enable us to build a facility that will house the education and the technical skills and the job placement services of Seeds of Hope.
Please consider to be a part of this ministry and be a blessing by taking advantage of this opportunity to be a minister to those in need. Thank you so much.
You know, I just can't help but think of that song that Leland sings, "This is an emergency." You know, you look around at the world and you go, this is an emergency, folks. And God has given us so much. And our privilege is to be able to be part of this emergency by changing it and helping it. You know, I look at that and I go, next year, which of those children are we going to be able to sit here and say, because we exist here in Florida, they don't live in that dumpy place anymore? They're in a house where they're being educated. You know, in Brazil, it's really awesome. This organization is a couple in Tampa who know a couple in our church, the Gilberts, and that's how we got hooked up with them. And they work, just this couple kind of works at this thing. All these little organizations are just some people that God said, go, change the world right now. And they went, okay. And they went and they start doing it. And we need to come alongside of them and we need to support them. So this couple, check out how brilliant this is, right? In Brazil, there's medical equipment. Millions and millions of dollars of medical equipment every year that gets thrown away because they can't fix it. Or so they just buy new stuff, the government. Well, these guys came up with this idea. What if we train the orphans in Brazil to fix the medical equipment? Hello? Do you get what I'm saying here? Suddenly now you've created a workforce that saves the government millions of dollars in medical equipment because they can fix the stuff. High-paid positions where orphans no longer live as prostitutes or as in a life of crime, but instead they become a critical part of the Brazilian society and they know the love of God. How cool would that not be? And so I sit down and I go, you mean I get to share in that? You mean I get to play a part in that? I am in. I am in for sure. So this organization, we are going to send them also. Let me grab the sheet. It's all on the sheet. I forget exactly how much it is even. Seeds of Hope, we're going to send them $2,000 this year, $500 to help build the trade school, and $250 a month for the orphans' needs. And we're going to support them. And guess what? Next year, we're going to start making a plan. And we're going to get on an airplane, and we're going to fly there, and we're going to go and work with this organization, and we're going to help them with all these things that they do, so that it's not just about our money, it's about our time and about our hands and about our feet. Okay, are we done? No, we're not done yet. All right, so this year, we still need to give more of ourselves away because there's so much more to do and God has given us so much. Last thing we're touching base on for today is Japan. So now we're jumping, second last thing, I'm sorry. Now we're jumping to Japan, except we're not jumping to Japan. Japan is jumping to us. Are you ready? So check out how this works. This is really, really cool. This little slideshow you're going to watch while I'm talking is a bunch of Japanese students who came over to the United States of America. There's an organization that works in Japan and here. Again, we got the privilege to meet them through a couple in our church. Jeff and Cindy know this couple intimately, and so they introduced us to this couple, and here's what this couple does. They advertise in Japan, if you want to come here for a month to the United States to learn the American culture and to learn English, to get immersed in the English language, we'll bring you over. But then they tell them that they don't try to trick Japanese people. They tell them, listen, we're going to place you in a Christian home, and you're going to go to a Christian church, and you're going to spend a month with a Christian family who is going to share with you their point of view on this entire life. And if you're interested in that, come with us. If you're not, there's other organizations you can go with that'll teach you English that may not do that. So the privilege that we have with this organization is that they actually take this so seriously that they will interview you and me to make sure that we are the kind of people that they feel will be able to sit with this Japanese student that we host in our home and share with them. Now, I know my church right here. I know you guys. So I was excited. I told them, we'll host them. We'll host them all. Absolutely. Why not? So there's going to be 15 of them that are coming in August. And we need 15 homes out of this church. If you can't afford to take the time off work and travel to Kazakhstan or to New Orleans, guess what? We'll bring missions right here to you so you don't have to worry about it. Because I get it. Some of you guys are busy and some of you guys have stuff going on. You'd love to do these things. You just can't right now. It's okay. So they'll come here. We need 15 families that will sign up and say, we'll host one of these people. All they need is a room that's private. That's it. So if you live in a place where you'll have to give them a couch, then that's not going to work because they're here for a month and they need some time. Can you imagine going to Japan for a month? You're going to need some time to close your door and go, oh God, what have I done? Why am I here? Because it's scary to change cultures like that, even for a month. And so it's going to be this amazing thing where we go, listen, guys, we will host you, and here's your responsibilities. You feed them breakfast, you feed them dinner, and you give them a little bag lunch to take with them. You drop them off right here at Mosaic Church in the morning, and you pick them right back up here in the afternoon. Because that month, guess what's going to be happening here at the church? All 15 of those students will be here learning English and learning culture right here. And then on Sunday, they'll be right back here with you, coming to church with you. And then you might decide they're going to Disney World on Monday, and you go with them to Disney World, and you have fun with them, and you laugh with them, and you get to know them, and guess what happens? After a month, they're no longer a Japanese student. They're your friend. They're like one of your daughters or one of your sons, and as they leave, you cry, and you hug, and they leave, and then you write them the next day, oh, I miss you, come back. And they write you back and go, I miss you too, maybe. And so it will develop. And so we have the opportunity to impact 15 lives directly. And as those 15 people start sitting and looking and seeing about what God has done in your life and how God has affected your life, then they can go back and go, who is this God? And they start a spiritual journey of their own. What an amazing privilege that wouldn't be. So, Japan, we're going to be hosting Japanese students. So now we've jumped, I think we've covered most of the world now. And so now, in order to blanket it all, because I was like, gosh, there's parts of the world we haven't gotten to yet. We found an organization that pretty much blankets the entire planet. This is a larger organization now, and we're not personally connected with this organization through any couple in this church. However, I have been watching this organization for the last 2 years. I went to their banquet last year and listened to the incredible stories that they told of what they do. This organization is called the International Justice Mission. And they're out there with lawyers and policemen and undercover cops and undercover strange people that you don't know about. And you know what they're doing? They are buying slaves from the sex trade. Young 12, 10, 11, 5-year-old girls from the sex trade all over the world. They are buying people in slavery that are in slave labor. And when they buy them, then they set them free. But not just like, get out there and do whatever you want. They train them, they take care of them, they counsel them for their emotional needs that have been all messed up. And then on top of that, is that enough? No. They send their lawyers out whenever they find these places, and their lawyers start working in country in each of these places. And guess what their lawyers do? They shut these places down. And we go, yes, another brothel that won't work anymore. Another daughter that was kidnapped at the age of 10 into another country that's now back with her family reconciled. Another life that will forever be different because we were a part of it. And so I said, that's it. We're in. We're supporting this organization. Now, I want to go undercover next year, but I don't know that that's going to be possible yet. But we're going to work on it, I promise you. And some of you people out there that go, yes, I want to sneak into an Indonesian brothel and buy a woman from the sex trade and save her life. You keep me posted because I promise you we're going to figure it out. Get out there because I can't wait to see the lives change forever. Take a look at this video.
An ancient and beautiful land hiding a brutal, sickening secret. Children for sale for sex.
You have some young girls?
Yeah.
How young?
10.
Some as young as 5, treated like property.
Hey, young girls, I'm 5.
Still 30, and 2 girls?
6, 5.
Dateline goes undercover in a shadowy world where we meet this man, an American, a doctor at home, on vacation, a tourist looking for more than just beautiful scenery.
I'll take some more.
It's big business involving tens of thousands of children. Can anyone stop it?
You basically run a sting operation.
Sure.
Go along as these brave investigators try to catch the sex traffickers and rescue these terrified girls, putting themselves at risk to do it.
He said, you come back here, you die. You come back here, I'll kill you.
Will they succeed? And what happens when Dateline catches up with a doctor and confronts him with this tape?
Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC. How are you?
A cruel trade, a dangerous raid, and the most innocent of victims in the balance.
It is a sin against humanity, and it is a horrendous crime.
Tonight, a Dateline hidden camera investigation. Chris Hansen with Children for Sale. When Dateline with Stone Phillips continues.
All right, in that little Dateline special, we wanted to play that for you because I think it captures the world in a whole different way. You see that guy that he said, so you guys do a sting operation, right? And he went, yeah, as a matter of sorts, we do. He is the founder and head of IJM, International Justice Mission. And they go all over the world. When I was at their banquet, they talked about families that were in hard labor, slave labor, in parts of the world where they went out and they bought those families back. They talked about 5, 6, and 7-year-old little girls that were taken from their families into the sex trade that they rescued and then trained and reconciled and grew into a life that they could live. And I'm sitting there watching the screen, hearing a 17-year-old girl talk about when she was rescued from the sex trade and what this organization is doing for her now. And I just knew we needed to be part of this. There's no way we couldn't be part of this. And so we are. So this year, we're going to give $3,000 to IJM. That $3,000, frankly, I trust them enough. I don't care what they use it for. But I can tell you this. That $3,000, those dollars will be buying people's lives back. That's what they'll be doing. So let me end with this today. You and me, we're sitting here in this little church, and we go about our lives every day, and that's not a bad thing. What I'm doing for you today, what I hope you hear from me today, is that I am laying for you and I an opportunity before you to say, listen, a year from now, we're going to be standing right back here, and instead of me playing videos about what we're going to do, I'm going to play videos of children's being interviewed by one of our people here who are talking about what happened. I'm going to play you stories, not because I want you to have warm fuzzies. That's not the point. The point is I want you to know that when we say that your money is invested in the kingdom of God to change lives, we are not making that up. That is real. And you get an opportunity to share in that. And I want so badly, just like I want my 7-year-old daughter to give her toys away and to sense that incredible responsibility and that incredible calling to say, I have been given to, so now I need to give, and to revel in that and experience the joy of that, I want you to also. I want you to sit in your home this week if you are someone that gives here at Mosaic and to just think about all these things. And then to start realizing beyond this, when I give here, a portion of my dollar here helps Alan do what he does with the high school ministry. A portion of my dollar helps Carrie do what she does with my children. A portion of my dollar helps us keep this place running so people can come in and out here every day. And then you start realizing, really? You mean this is an investment into unbelievable things? Yes. But beyond that, we're also laying before you an opportunity this year to say, giving is important. It is. Financial giving is very important. But just as important is getting up and going. And there are opportunities on that sheet of paper at the bottom, 3 opportunities this summer that we are going to go and we are going to use our hands and feet to make a change. We've got New Orleans, we've got Central Asia, and we've got Japan who's coming here. And it is an opportunity for you to share in life change directly. So I want you to consider prayerfully whether you're going to be a part of any one of these things. And if this year you can't, begin to pray already now. South Africa next year, Brazil next year, El Salvador next year, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan next year. And who knows what else God tells us to go and do. But if I'm the only one on the airplane, or if one of my staff are the only ones in the airplane, or if one of our volunteers, that's okay, because we're going. I mean, we are going. I'd just love to have you guys with us so we can go and make a huge change in the lives of these people. James puts it this way. Remember in James where he says, if somebody comes to your door and knocks, hello, and you open up and you go, oh, be well and warm fed. Oh, no, that doesn't work. Be warm and well fed. That's better. Be warm and well fed. And we send them off. That James literally says to us, you fool, you fool. What a waste of time. And then he goes on to say, the kind of religion that God loves is what? Taking care of the poor and the orphans and the widows. Did you hear the poor, the orphans and the widows today? I sure did. And we are not going to sit down idly and not take care of them. So financially, in order to make sure that we give 10% of ourselves as a church away, we've calculated that the cost of the trips that we're doing and the cost of the things more or less hits around the 10% mark. And then from there, we'll go from there. This year, God's going to have people here in Orlando that need help. He's going to have organizations that need help here, and we're going to give because we want to give ourselves away. But we have intentionally structured now the starting point for our church, and that's what we're going to do. And I hope and pray that you will be part of this process with us. 1, by going on these trips. And 2, by each Sunday, remembering to go, I want to invest in this. This is what I want my money doing. And right there in the back, there's a little brown box. In fact, we're going to put a box on the wall there that just says offering. on it. And that'll be your place where you go, this is where I get to invest in life change. And that's what you do. You invest in life change. And then we will make sure that we honor your investment by making sure lives are changed. And that's what we'll do. So let's pray. God, thank you so much for these organizations that you literally brought into our world and laid on our laps. We thank you for the hard work that each one of these people are doing. God, it just honors me to have shaken the hands of some of the people in those videos, that they give their time and their energy not once a year, but day after day after day in a world of horror, in an emergency. And God, may we become an encouragement to them. May we become a voice to their souls to say, well done, well done, we're with you. May our financial gifts come with a string attached that we are now in, that we are now part of your work, and that we will give ourselves away. We will write you, we will call you, we will come visit you, we will serve you because you are serving. And God, may we as a church become such an encouragement to each and every one of these organizations that they would not just know that we send them a check, but that they would know that we love them. And may we this year and next year as we go and visit these places, may we not go and visit so that we can see or so that we can feel, but may we go and visit so that we can do. And may we give ourselves away. God, speak to the hearts of the people in this building this morning. Speak to their hearts and let them know, God, that you have called them to give themselves away, financially and physically. And may there be those in this congregation this morning that say, I have to go this year. New Orleans, Kazakhstan, or host a family, I have to go. And maybe may there be those in this congregation that say, I have to give. And may we see you do incredible work as you use the little bits we have to give. We thank you so much for your love in Jesus' name.